And welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, our weekly programming covering arts and arts events in Valparaiso and throughout Northwest Indiana. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, right alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City.
Aloha, everyone.
And we're your hosts for Art on the Air. Hey, underwriters for our show, Art on the Air, are Valparaiso University's Brower Museum, and of course our landlord here in this beautiful historic building right here along Lincoln Way, Walt Breitinger. Hey, if you'd be interested in renting space or leasing space in this building, call him at 219-462-5821. That's 219-462-5821. We'd like to thank them for their generous support. We always like to thank Greg Kovach, WVLP's station manager.
Thank you so much, Greg.
Hey, if you're interested in being a guest or sending us information about your arts or arts-related event or appear as a guest, get in touch with us at artontheair@gmail.com. That's artontheair@gmail.com. Our program, along with our programs, are streaming live at WVLP.org. Art on the Air is rebroadcast Monday at 5 p.m. And our show archive can be heard at Breck, that's BRECH.com/AOTA. That's BREC.com/AOTA. And we now are being carried by WIUN, IU Northwest Closed Circuit Radio Station. So,
Yay.
By the way, we'd like to remind you that if you're interested in being an underwriter for the show, our WVLP listeners, we're always looking for your support, whether you be an individual or a business or something. You know, an underwriter gives us that support. We'd be happy to become part of our WVLP family. And specifically, Esther and I would love if you were supporting our show. So there's information at WVLP.org/support. There's different underwriter levels, everything from personal levels all the way up to business. We will mention you several times during a broadcast and throughout the broadcast day. So find out any more information at WVLP.org/support. And like I say every week, don't be just a listener. Become a supporter or underwriter in whatever amount you can, because don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good. And it will feel real good giving to the station here.
It will.
And now we're going to get ready for our arts calendar. And we're going to start with Porter County, Valparaiso University Center for the Arts, Brower Museum through May 12th, the Juried Student Art Exhibition and Senior Showcase going on there. We had guests on 2 weeks ago about that, so you can get that. The Village Gallery at the Pines, watercolor artist Lee Bauman, Symphony of Color. And that art exhibit opened on April 14th, continue through May 16th. Her reception already had a reception, so that's coming up. Chesterton Art Center continues with Art, Sweet Art, during the month of April. And this is for the students that take art classes there throughout the year. And so this their exhibition, I went to the opening. It's just absolutely fabulous to see almost from floor to ceiling art of kids and everything like that there. Art Barn, they also are doing their children's exhibit, and they'll be going through the end of the month, April 27th. And that's to celebrate their young artists ages 5 through 18. Also, they have a call for art, and it's at the Art Barn, the 26th Annual Juried Art Exhibition. And it'll start May 18th through the 27th. They're accepting work. Early submissions are due by April 20th and May 1st. And they're accepting most media except not photography. So you can do that and everything. Also, they are continuing with open mic performances. It's at the Art Barn. The next date is coming up is April 26th. So go to their website to find out information about that. Art Z, Fine Art and Antiques in Chesterton. They'll be doing their large canvas pour with Carrie Sokowski. It's a beginning and intermediate level thing, about a $50 fee. Includes instruction, supplies, light snacks, and beverages. And, of course, adult beverages are available down the hall. That's Saturday, April 27th. It's 1 to 3 p.m. There's only a limit of 15 participants. So that's kind of what we got going on in Porter County.
I think you're going to change the Art Barn's mind very soon about photography.
You might think so. Well, what do we have going on in LaPorte County?
Yeah. Well, before I talk about LaPorte County, I wanted to, again, say that WVLP had Stars Over Valpo Sunday, the 14th of April, and it was a fundraiser supporting this really wonderful community radio station, and it was such a fun evening. Larry was there, too.
Yes.
It was such a very happy, casual, wonderful
very
gathering.
Yeah, it was very casual and very interesting to see. And, you know, they just did one or two pieces of song, but you got to sample a whole wide range of talent, musical talent in the area.
It was so exciting. But funding is still important for the radio station, and we really do encourage you to become a sponsor of the station or a particular show. And I know Larry and I would really enjoy some dedicated sponsors for Art on the Air. And also, Melissa Washburn designed a WVLP t-shirt that By purchasing that, that also supports the radio station. You can purchase either the Early Bird or the Night Owl t-shirt. And that way you can visibly show your support for the radio station about town, and we would all greatly appreciate it. So
now LaPorte County.
Now LaPorte County. So LaPorte County, Thaddeus C. Gallery, located in downtown LaPorte at 822 Lincoln Way, has hours Tuesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Their phone number is 219-326-8626. The website is thaddeusc.com, and on Facebook, Thaddeus C. Gallery. Lubesnik Center for the Arts. Nature versus Everything exhibit runs through June 8th and features 9 contemporary artists in a new environmentally minded exhibit that explores the perilous battle between humanity and the natural world. There's also a large-scale installation in the Susan Block Gallery on the second floor. It starts with an animated video of a charcoal-drawn landscape with its inhabitants and extends into 3 colorful dimensions so that the viewer becomes part of the art. April 27th is the second zine and small press fest. That's from 1 to 5 p.m. And it is 30 independent authors, publishers, artists, and 7 activists. And it has free admission. And it's a really fabulous gathering. I would encourage everyone to go and see what's happening there. I enjoyed it so much last year. Southern Shore Art Association. The gallery is located at 724 Franklin Street, and they are open Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from 12 to 5 p.m. Their April exhibit is Everyday Life in My World, and the exhibit runs through April 28th, and Larry has quite a few pieces in that one, I think. How many? Four?
I think I have three in that one. Oh, no, I do have 4 in that one. That's right.
I think so. It's a nice, very nice exhibit. Visit their website, SouthernShoreArtAssociation.com, or their Southern Shore Art Association Facebook page. SFC Gallery, who are our guests today, they're at 607 Franklin Street, will be exhibiting the watercolors of Pat Herman and Julia Holmas. And I think that runs through the end of the month, right? Okay. And they're also a framing shop, and Christina is a talented artist as well as a knowledgeable framer. And their website is sfcgallery.com, and on Facebook, SFC Gallery. Rising Phoenix Gallery at 2803 Franklin Street. Their current exhibit is Out of the Forest, and that's artists working in the medium of wood. Their hours are Monday, 10 to 4 p.m., Wednesday and Thursday, 10 to 4 p.m., Friday and Saturday, 10 to 6 p.m., and Sunday, 11 to 4 p.m. Phone number is 480-216-2583. Their website is risingfhxgallery.com, and their Facebook page is the Rising Phoenix Gallery, and look out for their interesting classes. Blink Contemporary Art at 1709 Franklin Street is exhibiting new work by Suzanne Cohen Lang and Rick Lang. Their current exhibit is Uprooted Hands, and those are sculptures by Suzanne, and Dead Flowers by Rick. Very politically charged and a thought-provoking exhibit. Each artist, their work complements the others. They're a husband and wife team, and I guess that just kind of maybe happens with proximity. The exhibit works beautifully together. They can be reached at 773-206-0426 or on the web at blinkcontemporaryart.com. Facebook would be Blink Contemporary Art. The Nest, located at 803 Franklin Street, is exhibiting the work of over 20 local and regional women artists with both 2D and 3D work, plus a film of a live performance by Elise Kermani. And this will be on view through Saturday. Our next exhibit is photography by Joel Brussel, titled The Somewhere Else of Being Here. And this exhibit opens May 3rd. The images were all taken within 4 or 5 blocks of where he lives, but have an appearance of being otherworldly. Ongoing happenings in the Nest. Starting back again weekly on Mondays from 6 to 8 p.m., Oil Painting Plus with Michelle Weiser. The plus means if you would rather bring a watercolor, drawing, or mixed media piece to work on instead of oils, please do so. From no painting experience or drawing experience to the most accomplished artists will all enjoy Michelle's guidance. And event listing would be on the Nest Michigan City. Every third Sunday from 1 to 3 p.m. is the Mindful Fiber Artist Group. They meet, and all fiber arts are welcome. Bring a project to work on or just something to show us. Now, April 20th is going to be a big day, so we'll be hosting the 3rd year of our poetry contest at 3 p.m., and it's a collaboration with the Center for Creative Solutions to celebrate World Creativity and Innovation Week. And so there'll be a presentation of poems written by local students, and we'll have award certificates as well. And then in the evening, as well as every third Saturday of the month at 7 p.m., we have the Every Kind of Talent Show with Captain Ambivalent as the master of ceremonies. Yeah, da-da-da-da. It's vaudeville meets show and tell meets open mic. And we're always looking for magicians, dancers, filmmakers, actors, comedians, poets, storytellers, solo or group musicians, TEDish talkers, visual artists, every kind of talent. So sign up ahead to guarantee a spot, but there is also sign up the night of performance pending time and space. We have tickets available for Swale Music Fest in Michigan City at Westcott Park on Saturday, June 8th. And this is also a call for festival vendors. Please contact the Nest Michigan City if you are interested in possibly having a booth at this music fest. Details on Facebook, The Nest Michigan City. The best way to reach us is email, thenestmichigancity@gmail.com, or a Facebook message. Our hours are Thursday through Saturday, 2 to 6 p.m., but we're usually there later. Call 219-262-5200 or email ahead to be sure. And as always, other times by arrangement. So that's it for LaPorte County, Larry.
All right. There we go. A lot of things happening at the Nest. And if you're a poet and don't know it, show up, right?
Show up. The Every Kind of Talent Show has been just really delightful and fun, and we never know what to expect. And
it's always fun with Captain Ambivalent, who was also at our soiree this last weekend. So
yes, yeah.
So got a little taste. He got to do two numbers as opposed to everyone else almost got to do one.
Well,
so.
But they were short, right?
They were short, that's true. Now moving on to Lake County, the 119th Street Artists are sponsoring their annual Under 18 Art Show, which runs through May 4th. It's at the Cornerstone Art Gallery that's inside the Centier Bank in Whiting, 119th Street and New York there. As you know, sadly, the 119th Street artists are moving out of there because the bank is taking over the space. But they do still have two more exhibits. The one is the May-June exhibit, Concepts and Compositions. And that's an open juried exhibit. You can contact the artists there for 119th Street Artists on Facebook or 119thartists.org. And then their final one is Sarah P. Convery. We'll be doing a September-October exhibit. In October after that, they're out of there, and we'll let you know what the status of them, what's going to happen with 119th Street Artists, whether they'll merge with someone else. And down the street from them, Studio 659, also in Whiting, they continue through the middle of May, Worn Out, Worn In, Well Worn, Gently Used, Handily Loving, Exhausted. It's art that wears its art on the sleeve, and that show has been extended through the middle of May. Originally it was going to close on April 10th, but there they are going on. South Shore Arts, well, they have an Arts on the Table talk coming up at the Center for Vision Forming Arts in Munster. On April 25th, they'll be talking about more of visual arts and everything. What you do is you have a light lunch, and then you can come back. On the 26th, they'll be talking about the symphony. So it'll be 12 noon for both events. You need to RSVP by April 22nd to Donna Catalano, and you can contact her, of course, at the South Shore Arts. And so go on the website or anything like that. By the way, they are now starting to take reservations for the 26th annual Bozark Ball. And their theme is Rock It Man. And it's called One Step for You, One Giant Leap for the Arts. It's on Friday, June 7th, beginning at 6 p.m. And it's this year, black tie optional. So you can come in with something other than a black tie guy, so you don't have to rent that tux. Or if you have a tux, get it all dusted off. Anyway, that's an early call out for that, but they're taking reservations for tables. You can find out information on the website. Continuing in the Bachman Gallery is Haunts. And that's just continuing through this weekend, and then it'll be all gone. That's the one that was curated by John Kane. It's an exhibit of guerrilla photographers who's been into Gary and other cities, capturing the beauty of architectural ruins throughout there, repurposed gardens, public spaces. And like I said, I saw the one that struck me was Dennis Crane taking aerial drone shots of the teardown of the Star Plaza Theater and the Twin Towers, and it was just... It was very moving and kind of sad, a landmark from Lake County disappearing like that, but he documented that. In the Atrium Gallery, well, gee, we have someone here doing this. It's Celebrating Birds, featuring Kimberly Beck, Sue Galamas, and this other girl I don't know, Christina Nolsky. Yeah, she's there, too. That's going to be running through the middle of June, June 16th. Their artist reception is Sunday, May 26th, 1 to 3 p.m., so you can see the beautiful work of these Avery artists. Cafe Fresco in Crown Point. Point. We'll talk about that later with Christina also. Cafe Fresco in Crown Point, Brianna Mihalovich, The Region at a Glimpse, and that continues through the end of the month, April 28th, so you can catch that exhibit. Southern Shore Art Association Artful Garden, also in Crown Point. Cassia Sisanuski, Beyond the White Gardens. Again, that's going to be closing out April 27th, so you can see that work before we go have change of exhibits coming up for the following month. Miller Beach Arts and Creative District. They have Camille Sunercio, Evidence of Time and Space. And that will be opening May 3rd. And she'll there'll be a reception on May 3rd from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Marshall J. Gardner Art Center on Lake Street in Gary. You can find out information about them from Meg Roman at Meg Roman on the website, of course, the Facebook page with Miller Beach Arts. They'll be happy to do it. They're open Thursdays and Fridays, 12 to 6, Fridays and Saturdays, 6 to 9, and Sundays, 1 to 4. MillerBeachArts.org, and you can also find them on Facebook. Area Artists Association exhibit continues through April 24th, so not much time left, called Artist Narrative at the Indiana Visitor Center, I-80, I-94 at Exit 3. In Hammond there, the exhibit featured 60 pieces with 15 artists from the Area Artists Association, which is part of the Lebesnik Center, and so they do that. Nice, I do have four pieces in that show, too. South Lake Artist Cooperative, commonly known as SLAC, they only have a Facebook page because it's a very loose group of artists. They now have a call for art called Indifference and Ecstasy, Two Sides of the Same Code, and they're exhibiting often at Wild Rose Brewery in Griffith, so you can see it there. They're closing out their current exhibit that Dorothy Graydon had pieces in. So that's about all we have going on in Lake County. Once again, if you want to send us information about your art-related event, we're happy to put it on the air for you at artontheair@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Oh, so much so.
Yes, and if you also you'd like to be a guest on the show, you know, we're booking about a month and a half out, so if you have something you want to talk about, you know, we'd love to have you on to do that and get you on talking about that, because we are starting to expand our coverage by streaming and everything.
I know. It's exciting.
Little by little. Well, our guests today are from the SFC Gallery. That's Sharp Eye Framing Company. I always know it as SFC, so it took me a while to get that when someone talks to about Sharp Eye. We have Ryan Wanke and Christina Nolski, and they're here from the gallery. Ryan's the owner. Christina is I like to call it the master framer. She didn't like that, but I think she's a master framer. I think Ryan would agree with that probably.
She's a phenomenal designer, Larry.
Okay, well, I knew that,
but
too.
I usually get stuck doing all the work.
Oh, there you go. So there. Well, welcome to the show. Well, we'll start with you, Ryan. Tell us a little bit about your personal history. I think you grew up in Michigan City. And
I did. I was born and raised in Michigan City, graduated from Michigan City High School, went to Purdue for a few years. And they say once framing gets in your blood, you're stuck with it. So
okay.
As a summer job and after school, I ended up back here doing framing.
Where did you do that at?
It was a place called Wildlife Art and Frame in downtown Michigan City.
Okay.
And this was, you know, in the late 90s. So after I graduated college, I said, you know what? I'm going to try doing framing on my own. So I saw a need for some high-volume commercial-type framing in the area, and that's what we started with Sharp Eye Framing Company. And then that took off very well for us. And then over the years, as we expanded into more of the retail aspect, we opened up the SFC Gallery. And like you said, it stands for Sharp Eye Framing Company, which is a great piece of trivia in the area. And we opened that in 2016. So it's only been a few years, but that's been really good. And it's good to get in touch with the local arts community there and do the First Fridays and that kind of stuff, because, as you know, Michigan City has really been focusing on the arts and trying to revitalize the downtown. So I've been happy to be a part of that. And that's when Christina came on to help us in the gallery, doing the frame layout and the design.
I was struck by what you studied at Purdue and how you got into the framing. So tell us about that.
Oh, well, it's really interesting because science has always been a big interest of mine. And when I was at Purdue, I ended up in genetics and microbiology, which has absolutely nothing to do with the arts, has absolutely nothing to do with framing. But I enjoyed it. And when I graduated, I said, okay, I can go and work in a lab, or I can try this business thing. So ended up in business, in the arts, and I like it a lot more. It gives me a lot of opportunities to travel and interact with people more than you know, staring at a microscope or looking at test tubes.
There you go. So that's Ryan's history. Christina, tell us a little bit about where you grew up and where you went to school and everything like that.
Well, I want to put a little disclaimer. I am definitely not the framer.
Okay.
I'm just a designer. That's the word I prefer, because I will send the work over to Ryan to do.
Okay.
So we're a good team in that regard. But so I'm actually originally from Joliet, Illinois. I started going to school at the American Academy of Art, graduated in 2012, got into framing at 2011 just to help me get through school, and kind of fell in love with it. And ever since then, I've stayed in it. And luckily, I've had the opportunity to join the team at Sharp Eye Framing Company in 2016. And SFC Gallery has been kind of my thing ever since then. So.
And Christina's a little bit too modest, but she has a Bachelor of Fine Arts from the American Academy and graduated as a valedictorian.
Yep.
Wow. Well, you should say that. That's good. These are good things, you know. If you don't promote yourself, no one else will. So you've been there since about there. And tell us, like, what you do there. Like, if I could walk in your door, which I have, but I mean for our audience, what do you do there? Like, if I can come in there, what do I need?
Well,
generally you would be walking into the gallery and you would meet Christina, and she can help you, you know, pick out the frames and that kind of stuff. If you happen to walk into the warehouse or the shop, as we call it, that's where we have all the equipment and do all the production work. So,
and that's also in Michigan City?
That's also in Michigan City, yeah. It's located over on Harrison Street, which is kind of off the beaten path a little bit. But for the most part, you're going to be interacting with Christina. So
the gallery acts as your front door to
your consumers.
Exactly.
It's like a showroom kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think I was probably using the word framer incorrectly, because I wasn't actually thinking of actually the frame being put together. So I apologize. I meant the design aspect, mm-hmm. like, because I don't know. So I'm glad for the clarification. Thank you.
You also have other things going on the first Fridays. Talk about what that does, because that's part of the Franklin Art District, which you've talked about, Ryan, how it how the whole burgeoning kind of downtown, but you're really a part of that. You're an anchor store to that.
One of the reasons we picked the location that we have is because it is right in the heart of the Uptown Arts District of Michigan City. We have other neighbors next to us, like Southern Shore Art Association. The Lubesnik Center is not far. We have The Nest also down the street. A lot of great artists, art studios, and galleries right here in the Arts District. And we wanted to bring something with us as not just a frame shop, but also as a gallery by showing local artists' work every month in conjunction with the First Friday Art Walk. So every month we do have a local artist that we show for a month long, and we have a reception during the First Friday Art Walk of every first Friday of each month.
And you serve margaritas often.
On occasion, there are things to be margaritas, yes.
Yes. So tell us about some of the artists that you have had and are going to have coming up in the gallery.
Well, one of the main things we wanted to focus on was local artists. We didn't want to pull someone from, you know, New York or from specifically just the Chicago area. We wanted to focus on specifically local, Northwest Indiana, Michigan City, Porter, Lake Counties, etc. So we've had artists in the past like Dorothy Graydon, and I'm trying to think of some other ones off the top of my head.
Kathy Loss Rathburn,
I think. Kathy Rathburn, yes. I'm totally blanking everybody people's name. We have had so many now. We'll be having a lot of new artists this month too, or I'm sorry, this year too.
You hosted the Dig the Dunes calendar.
That's right. Yeah.
Launch. Yeah, we did that in December.
Yes, and they were very happy being there.
We tried to do something different and unique when we were first starting out, just to get more excitement downtown.
Well, I think Eve would like to come back there for her launch next year. She was very happy. And I had a piece of that one too. But not that. It's that they were in, like, they did, I think, a winery in Chesterton and everything. But it was a much better presentation of the work in your space there.
Well, everything looks better framed.
This is
which
true.
Which is one of the benefits of doing that exhibit. We've also had like a local photographer who actually has a studio here in Valparaiso, Angie mm-hmm. Janachowski from Aspen Studios.
Okay.
And one of the unique things we did with that, with her work, was she did a lot of donation work in photography with a local pet rescue. And so we had all dogs. And one of the great things we got to do with that exhibit was have puppies for adoption with their
first
Friday.
Oh, yeah.
Art,
I think I remember
really
that.
It was a really unique
yeah.
First Friday mm-hmm. two years ago.
Yeah, it was
so the gallery returned the dogs that day.
Yeah. That was a great exhibit.
So who do you have coming up?
So right now we actually have two artists on display. They're both artists from the Dunlin Plein Air Painters, and Julia Holmes and Pat Herman. They do mostly watercolors, I would say a little mixed media as well, but they're both plein air artists, so that means they paint from the outdoors. They're both outstanding watercolors in their own right. Their work works very well off of each other, and we have the exhibit up until the end of the month this year. This month. So
okay.
I encourage everyone out to go and take a look at
it. Oh, most definitely. They're both extremely talented.
And then this first Friday coming up, what do you have?
So we have a photographer this next month. His name is Albert George. He does mostly black and white photography. I would describe it as kind of like still a post still lives, but they're really unique, and we try to get a little bit of variety every month. So we have some photography, we have some watercolors, mixed media, etc. But he's going to have some nice work up on display next month too.
It's going to be photo month.
Yes, there we go.
May photo month.
That's great. Well, I'm glad, because you know, a lot of times, as you've heard, is photography doesn't always get included in the arts, and they're still plowing that field a little bit in some places. So. And then anything else for the rest of the year?
Anyway. Well, I can go down the list here.
Well, let's do
some
that.
Amazing artists. Not in any particular order here. We have Michelle Weiser, which Esther's knows Michelle. Yeah. Amazing draftsman, and we're really excited to have her work. I think she's going to be displaying her Gary series, although I'm not holding her to that. She can do whatever she wants on there. We have an artist, Mary Vihan, who is also from the Chicago area and also Michigan City area. She does mostly watercolor. We have a local legend, Terry Armstrong, coming in from, I think it's the South Bend area.
He's in Warsaw.
Warsaw, excuse me. So he'll be coming in, I believe, in August of this summer. Nathan Biancardi, who's actually in the same space, he'll be here with us September. We have your past host here, Melissa Washburn. She'll be here in the winter months. And Patty Schaffner. Betty Thomas and Bunny Dimke, who are also watercolorists, and I think that closes out for everybody for 2019.
If an artist is interested in getting on to get their work in there, what do they do?
So that's a great question. We have everyone worked out for 2019, but we're always accepting artist applications. You can get it via our website. There's no cost to apply. There's just a downloadable PDF where you send us your work, your resume, your artist statement, etc., and that's at sfcgallery.com.
Okay. So if you're interested in doing that, artists out there, if you want to get into a great place to display your work, about how many pieces generally can you get up in your gallery?
That's a good question, too. So we don't have a huge space, but we do have enough wall space to include, I would say, about 15 to 20 pieces, depending on the size.
Okay. What else, back to kind of the aspect of the work of the gallery, when you walk into it, What am I going to see when I walk in the door?
When you walk into SFC Gallery, what you're first going to see is probably our showroom first and foremost. We do have two design tables where we do help customers with their framing projects. We have some South Shore posters on display along with some other framing ideas in case people do decide to get some framing done. But we do have a gallery in the back space, which is well lit, has plenty of wall space, and it's always rotating, so it takes a little bit of walking down into the back to get to the gallery, but it's well worth the walk.
And
gorgeous, actually.
It is. It's really nice.
When you see the bits of the frames, though, and that's like a piece of art in itself. Mm-hmm. Your wall of frames
and of course,
choices.
And when you walk in, you almost always will see Christina there.
Well,
so.
Emma was there for the most part.
Yes, yep. And what's your clientele? What's your base? So who are they? Mostly artists, or you have also.
We have a variety of clientele, but we are very proud of our artist base. We do like to work with artists that are especially local, but we do give artist discounts. So if anyone's listening that are artists, you know, if you want to get any framing done, we do help out with that. But we do work with clientele that are local to the area. We get Long Beach, New Buffalo, New Beverly Shores, everyone out from LaPorte County.
Crown Point, everywhere.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a niche for framing out in that area. So, but what's nice, too, is because we also have the art exhibit on display, we get some people that have never come in before to also get to see some of the art that is around Michigan City as well. So we get a nice variety of people in the area.
Very good. By the way, you are listening to Art on the Air, WVLP. We are on 103.1 FM. It's our weekly program. Also streaming on WVLP.org, and also being heard on WIUN, IU Northwest online closed circuit radio station. So Ryan, you've got this beautiful gallery. Do you ever think about expanding it, franchising it, something like that?
Yes, that's always been something in the back of my mind. And that's something that Christina's been helping out, working on all the details of the logistics of having two stores, three stores, you know, bringing the art back and forth so it doesn't get damaged, and trying to figure out where we're going next. So yes, that is coming soon.
Oh, hopefully. Fantastic. So would that be something in the Northwest Indiana first? Or
yeah, we would be looking Northwest Indiana, Lower Michigan, locally before we expand out further.
Fantastic.
It is, because the quality is just exquisite. I've had...
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it's just really, really beautiful. And Christina's help is invaluable with making those decisions. But then when the final product is excellent...
Yeah, we have a great team, that's for sure.
How many people? Is it just you and Christine, or is there, who else do you have?
And then Mike also helps in the production area.
Okay. So what other types of things besides strictly framing do you do at there?
So we have framing mostly for the most part. We have the fine art, of course, the gallery side, but we also do jaclé printing for artists.
Okay.
So if anyone's interested in doing a print of their original artwork to sell or to have as copies, we do scanning and printing on archival paper with archival inks for artists that are interested in doing it on paper. And canvas too.
Oh, canvas. Canvas gallery wraps?
Mm-hmm. And, yep.
Okay.
Mm. So we do the whole thing.
The whole thing.
Yeah.
Well, what about fragile vintage or antique things? How much restoration or how much are you equipped to handle fragile?
We don't have any problem with fragile artwork. We do very well with that. As far as actual restoration, no, we don't do any of that in-house. We would, refer that out to...
But mounting in a shadow box, a fragile item,
absolutely.
No problem? Okay, that's great.
We actually, interesting, had a huge map come in yesterday that was very brittle. We're actually framing that too. It's a 1930s map of Lake Michigan.
It's
really interesting. We get all sorts of things in terms of
So have there been any surprises?
I've had purses come in. I'm trying to think of something that we've done recently. A lot of maps. We have a sword we're working on right now, a Marine Corps sword. We've done so many different things. A lot of jerseys, things like that too, but get some unique items every once in a while. We have a Victorian hair wreath once, and it's exactly what it sounds like. It's a crown of hair.
What's the most difficult problem you had?
I think we had that one. We had an Afghan throw that was handmade. It was, one, it was large, and two, it was difficult to mount.
And it wasn't square.
Which makes it difficult to put into a rectangular frame. There's always challenges. That's why it's an interesting job, because you don't ever get the same thing in twice.
Right. Every day is different.
Any incredibly famous work that have you had to reframe? Or
I think the only the most famous, I think, would be we've had some local legends like Dee Sander come in, and Neil Kienitz himself has bringing some of his own framing.
He's so
local
wonderful.
Legends.
Yes.
But I think the most important thing I framed was an Alexander Calder lithograph, which was pretty cool.
Very cool.
Well, Christina, you wear some other hats, too. You are actually a watercolorist yourself. So tell us a little bit about what you do and your work and everything like that.
Well, one of the reasons I got into framing was when I was in school. I was studying watercolor primarily. I do watercolor mostly birds of the local area. I do a lot of work with the Indiana Audubon Society. But one of the reasons I wanted to get into framing was because I wanted to bring that artistic and creative sense to a frame design, basically. It's kind of the same process of figuring out what colors work well, what designs and textures work well with this particular piece of artwork. So I try to bring my artistic sense of to paint a fine art and painting to the framing world.
Okay. And like we said earlier, you're going to be at the atrium at Center for Visual Arts. So how many pieces do you have? I know that's a shared exhibit. So how many pieces do you have
there? There's three artists, Kimberly Beck, Sue Gombas, and myself. I think I have about 7 pieces on display right now.
Okay. And what are they?
Mostly birds. What we did is we have 3 artists, 3 different mediums. They're all same subject matter. So I have watercolor, Kim has oils, and Sue has a colored pencil. We each did basically birds of the local birds. Kim focused on regional. I tried to focus on extinct species, and Sue focused on endangered. So I have some passenger pigeons on display, and then some regional birds like goldfinches and some rare warblers and such.
So what's your process? Do you photograph birds first, or do you do live drawing, or how do you? So when you're getting ready to do that, what's your process to get it from that to a watercolor?
Well, I do a lot of prep work before I start a painting, so a lot of it includes a lot of research, going out into the field and actually looking at the birds. So I do a lot of birding to get to know my subject matter. I do some research in terms of going to the book, in terms of where they're located, the specifics and details with the actual species. Occasionally with the extinct species, since I can't go out in the field to look for them, I'll do some research at the field museum and sketch from their skins. But then I also do some photography just to help and aid in my painting process, and then it usually just starts with a rough sketch and built into a watercolor painting.
And just to say for myself, if you have not seen Christina's work, it's just absolutely remarkable. So if you ever see a Peterson's Guide or something like that, and then you may not take it that way, but it's in that striking level of watercolor. It's just absolutely beautiful. Not only is art, but also a reproduction. So I'm not trying to just say that, but it is. It's really.
It is really. And as the years go by, because I think I saw you at a festival many, many, many years ago, and the work was excellent then, but where you are now, all these years later, it's like a whole different artist. Oh. It's just like there is so much more life, and I don't know, it's just they're very moving pieces.
Thank you very much.
Well, we've talked a little bit about your current exhibits. Where else has your work been seen?
So I had recently had an exhibit at the Lubesnik Center during their Birds and Bees exhibit that was about last year, which was really a great exhibit. I was happy to be a part of it, and it was very successful.
You had some pretty large pieces in that one, too.
I did. I actually don't have them anymore, thank goodness. It's very difficult to store large pieces. But yes.
Ryan, could you fix that up for her, get her a place to store that?
Oh, sure.
Sure.
Transport, too.
I grew up in the Chicago, suburbs of Chicago, so I did a lot of work in the Chicago area, like Jackson Young Gallery. I've done some work at one of my greatest shows was at the Peggy Notabart Nature Museum when they had the 100th anniversary of the passenger pigeon extinction. But I've shown locally in the area, Northwest Indiana, and just some places outside of the state, too. So, but I try to keep it local if I can.
Do you still have your collaboration with the National Park? Because that's where, I took one of your workshops last year or the year before.
Oh. Well, that was technically not through the National Park. It's actually through the State Park system
and the
Indiana Arts Commission, that particular one. I've actually done the Artist in Residence program at the then National Lakeshore, now National Park. But
Do you still work in conjunction with them?
I do. I work in conjunction with the State Parks is a grant program through the Indian Arts Commission that I'm still doing the same workshops. We're referring to the Arts in the Parks grant, and that is, there's two more this year that are watercolor workshops at the Dune State Park Nature Center. I think, I don't know the days off the top of my head. There's one in August and then one in December as well.
Great. Tell us about your artist in residence experience. That's something I've always toyed around that would be kind of fun to do.
Well, it was a 2-week-long residency. You have the option of basically going anywhere in the park to get your inspiration. And luckily, the National Lakeshore has a lot of opportunities for different types of land. You have the beach, you have the marsh, you have the bogs, you have fields, you have so much to choose from. So I try to hit wherever I could and just take a lot of references of different, at the time it was fall migration, so to fall warblers and other migrating species. But you basically just kind of take it all in and just get back to your studio in the end of the night and just keep kind of working with whatever inspiration you had during that day, which was a great process. And I'm still working on pieces that I still have reference photos of that I just took so many of.
Did you actually stay in the park itself?
I did. Yeah, there's a lot of secret little houses in between the state parks. I'm sorry, the national park, and which I didn't even know existed, and I live right down the street. So it was a really fulfilling experience. There's a lot to the park has to offer, and it's all over the place, but I think that's a good thing because you get a variety of different locations.
And I think they just closed that for this year, because every year about in the spring, they have a call for artists to do that.
And I keep meaning to do it, too.
Me, too. I never could do it while I was directing theater because that was so all-encompassing, but I thought that would be a great thing to do. Even if you don't stay in the house, I live close enough that I can zap into them. So what? Before we move on to the next subject we're going to talk about, is what do you see a future for any kind of is there a project you want to work on with birds that you haven't done yet?
Well, I'm actually working on something right now that's a little challenging. I'm doing a online bird biology course through Cornell.
Okay.
And it's a lot of, kind of just research in terms of bird biology, which is kind of a little overwhelming to take on as a side project. But I'm also working on sketching at the same time as I'm learning to put it together an exhibit that's going to travel around the Indiana state. So it's something that's my kind of next big project.
Right. But Ryan, have you ever had her on exhibit in the gallery?
Christina has not exhibited in our gallery yet.
I thought you'd have a good in there.
Well, I don't want to, it's not about me there. It's about the other artists that we work with. And we have plenty of other artists to work with.
I get it. So, because you want to get them in the gallery to also.
Oh, yeah. We've got a lot of great artists though, that we still have yet to pull from.
Well, moving on to the next thing, you're involved in yet another project, the Indiana Dunes Birding Festival, and specifically with the Dune Birds in Art. So tell us a little bit about that process and, you know, first of all, how you get in. Now, I know this year you just got closed, but just tell us what that does.
Well, before I get into the exhibit, it might help to have a little background on what the actual birding festival is.
Sure, go ahead.
So there is a festival that takes place in May at the Indiana Dunes State Park and the National Lakeshore in Porter County. It's basically a four-day-long festival with beginning to advanced birding, and you have field trips, workshops taking place throughout the whole day. And I encourage people to check it out if you're into or want to get into birding. But what I do is I've helped collaborate with the Indiana Audubon Society, who is the sponsor for the birding festival, to create an exhibition that is showcasing indigenous and migratory bird species of the Midwest. And so in conjunction with the festival, there is an art exhibit that displays both 2D and 3D work of artists, both locally and regionally. And it's about a month long, starting from the beginning of the festival to about middle of June.
Okay. Now, and people come locally or from all over the country? Or
we actually get people internationally too, which is pretty great at the exhibits for the Birding Festival, but we do get specifically regional people for the art exhibit. So Indiana, Illinois, Ohio, Michigan, neighboring states like that. I think we have someone from Iowa possibly too. In the past years, we've had other artists, but we try to keep it regional with this particular show.
So tell us more about the actual Birds in Art. I mean, the process of how to get in. I guess, again, this year we're past the date of entry, but
So what we do is we put a call for art usually at the beginning of the year. And it, like I said, it kind of is various subject matter. You can do both painting, photography, sculpture, textile art. We try to keep it very broad. And you can enter online. We are just starting to use Cafe this year to make it easier process for our artists to enter. But it is through the Birding Festival's website. You can go to indunesbirdingfestival.com to get more information. But we basically try to get a wide variety of artwork that's specifically focusing, the main theme is focusing on native and local species. And so that way we kind of celebrate our local birds along with the festival in art form.
And you have a lot of local artists. What types of medium? Do they also do like 3D things? Or
we do. So last year we've had wood carvers. We've had needle felted wool. We're trying to get more ceramics and pottery in the mix too. But there's been a lot of interesting pieces that have come in that require pedestals and a little bit more finesse. But we try not to limit it to any specific medium because we want a variety of interpretations of native species.
Okay. And where can you go see this exhibit?
So the exhibit's going to be at our headquarters for the festival, which is the Indiana Dunes Visitor Center and National Lakeshore Headquarters. And that's located at 1215 of State Road 49 in Chesterton, Indiana. So if you're familiar with the State Park Visitor Center, it's right off of 49 in Chesterton. They have an exhibit center where we will be displaying the work once you get into the Visitor Center.
Now the Birding Festival has speakers. They come in. I think they have an event at the they have them at the Welcome Center, I believe. But you know,
there's a lot of events going on throughout the 4 days, but there is usually a keynote headliner that takes place Saturday during the dinner. We're taking place this year at Sand Creek Country Club.
Okay. And then they have other speakers during, like, on each day then, correct?
They do, yeah.
And what are their topics?
It varies. I mean, you can get anywhere from a specific type of birding challenge, so like shorebird ID. Sometimes it's a lot of the times the speakers are notorious birders that have really interesting stories of their travels and their birding experiences. So, which again, if you're not part of that world, it sounds very vague and confusing, but it can be very interesting because a lot of challenges pop up when you're out in nature looking for something that's hard to find. But there's also great, you know, we try to make it inclusive for people that maybe aren't advanced birders. So you've got a lot of like workshops that are specifically for birders. We actually have a lot of photography for if anyone wants to get into bird photography. I do a workshop on Thursdays that require like painting and canvas events. It's a little bit more low key. But for anyone out there that wants a little bit more in-depth version of birding, there's a lot of other options too.
You're listening to talking about the Dunes Birding and Art on WVLP, mm-hmm. Art on the Air, 103.1 FM. And have our guests from SFSC or Sharp Eye Framing Company, both Ryan and Christina. So will you have any pieces in the Birding Festival?
No, I do some design work with the poster and t-shirt work, but I do not have anything in the actual exhibit since I'm one of the jurors.
Well, you could put it up as just the juror.
No,
the jury
she's
piece
being
is,
very modest. Larry.
I know.
Well, that's a conflict of interest, so no, I don't want to do that. But there's some great artists that are, I know even just this year, even though I don't have anything set in stone, but there's some beautiful work coming in this next year.
Fantastic. Very good. So if next year, the call for art would be about?
January, February
is a good call. Yeah. So if any of you are artists out there would like to be a part of that, especially if you have things that are Northwest Indiana bird related and things like that, that'd be a great opportunity for the exhibit. You have kind of a limited space there at the Welcome Center. That's one of the problems, I think.
It's a challenge, but actually this year, one of the reasons we are excited for this year is we have new panels and display booths. So we're going to have all updated panels that are basically going to be part of the visitor center to hold on to. We were lucky enough to get a grant to get those funded, and so everything should look really nice and new pedestals, and should look really professional.
Now, you may not know the answer to this, but how many people come through in the Birding Festival?
That's a good question. I think the number, we get up to about 400 registered, so the numbers can probably be higher than that because a lot of people come that are not registered for some of the free events, so I would say anywhere from 400 plus.
Okay. Very good. So, Ryan, when we go back to the gallery and expansion and everything like that, what's the timeline on that, you think?
I would say in the next 2 to 3 years, we would be looking to make our next expansion, yes.
And any, without giving away the farm, you're looking at Southwest Michigan?
Originally, we were looking at Southwest Michigan, South Bend, and Northwest Indiana, which encompasses a big area.
Oh,
so
sure
I'm not
does.
Letting anything out of the bag yet. So
okay, very good.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That will be a definite plus for those areas.
Yes, most definitely.
Especially
it's important. It completely will enhance your piece of artwork, or the opposite if it's not done well. So
yeah, and like you said, we work with a lot of the artists in the area, but they're spread out over a large geographic area too. So,
and remember, they offer artist discounts, so that's important for the artists because we know that artists make a lot of money on their work.
Well, that's always been a way for us to kind of give back to the art community too, because
that's
a lot
true.
Of the artists are looking to sell their work, which
it's nice to come in at a wholesale price for the artists, because by the time they do the work, they frame it and prepare it, and then the gallery takes their cut out of it, you know.
That's why they're starving artists
right.
at that point. So.
If you go into the art for like retailing and everything like that, it doesn't do well. Back to the Birding Festival, I had some of the keynotes here, and I guess the keynote is going to be, and I don't know if you know that, Laura Erickson. She's the best bird ever photo. That's the one that's at Sand Creek Country Club on Saturday and everything. And you said you have some things on the Birding Festival you're doing. When is that?
So I just do a wine. It's called a Wine and Waiters Workshop. It's basically like painting canvas. That's going to be on Thursday, I think, from 3 to 5.
Okay, so wine's involved, you know. So
yeah, if you want it.
So your final work will look really good after the evening, no matter
well,
what.
Well, this depends on how much you drink. So it'll look really great the more you drink. But no, we're working on a Pathonotary Warbler for that.
So personally, what are you working on? What birds are you? Do you work in series? Like, do you focus on, well, I want to explore this bird? And
well, a lot of it depends on what time of year it is. Mm. Like right now, it's kind of, I'm really hoping to get a new camera because I want to get better pictures of the migrating species. But a lot of right now, I'm kind of wrapping up some commissions that I've been long overdue. So wrapping those up first, and then hoping to expand it to a new series soon, but it's not fleshed out yet.
So as you're looking for birds out in the field, do you have any close encounters otherwise with other
well, one of the
wildlife?
Best things, not necessarily wildlife. I mean, there's always challenges, but one of the things I love most about going out in the field is you get to meet other people that are not necessarily birders, just people that enjoy nature. And while I don't recommend, you know, having a whole conversation while you're walking with people sometimes, but you run into people that you normally wouldn't, and you get to kind of make connections with other people that are just out there enjoying it like you are. Mm-hmm. So I always like doing that, especially one of the reasons I like doing with the festival, because you meet a lot of cool people.
Well, you mentioned commissions. How would they get in touch with you to, like, if someone wanted it? And where can they see your work? I'm sure you have your own website.
I have a website, yes, just ChristinaKonowski.com. That's KNOWSKI. It's a weird last name. But actually, one of the best things about the commission is that they're mostly bird related. So I get to meet some people that have a particular image that they want to make a little bit more memorable. Maybe it's a particular species that they saw for a trip that they want to commemorate by painting it, not just having a photograph. So I'll do a painting for them as a little bit of a memory for that particular adventure, which is very honorable for me. I feel very honored to be able to do that for somebody.
And if nothing else, they can get a hold of you at the gallery.
Yes, I'm
you're there
almost all every day.
So. You're open. What's your hours at the gallery?
Our hours at the gallery are Tuesday through Friday, 10 to 6 p.m., and Saturday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. We are closed on Sundays and Mondays, just a heads up, but we can make appointments on that day if those days are available for you.
Very good. And of course, you're going to be opening a little bit late today because you're our guest on the show.
Yes, we are closed as of right now, so please don't come yet.
Yes, I saw that post on Facebook and everything. And does SFC have a Facebook page?
Oh, yeah, we sure do. It's just facebook.com/SFC Gallery. We're easy to find.
Easy to find. So Ryan, we talked a little bit about the future. Have you ever got any art venture yourself? Is there anything you do artistically?
Well, I do dabble a little bit in watercolor. I wouldn't call myself an actual artist because it's not a full-time thing for me. But, I've played around with watercolor. People tell me I'm getting pretty good, but I think they're just being nice.
Well, are you thinking about
Michelle Weiser's class at our gallery?
thinking about venturing out into the exhibit land?
Actually, to be perfectly honest with you, we did have I did exhibit in the gallery 1 month just mm-hmm. because we didn't have anybody scheduled that month. So to have some work on the walls, I put a few paintings up, and people liked them. I didn't sell anything, but I like it. I enjoy it. But
what's your subject matter? What do you like to paint?
A little bit of everything. I actually take classes with Mark Palomchek, and he's an artist who was out of Crown Point. Now he travels around the country teaching watercolor seminars, and we do all the framing for him. So a lot of times I would meet him somewhere at an event or something like that and bring frames for his students. And then just one day he was like, well, why don't you pick up a brush and try to paint? So over the years, we've been doing this 5 or 6 years now that I've sat and just painted with him.
It's so cool because it really uses a different part of your brain painting, and it's like I find it really satisfying. I just started to paint.
Yeah, so. It does, and it's very relaxing for me too.
Yeah, it's very relaxing.
It's something that I can focus on and I don't have to worry about.
Mixing colors is exquisite. I love it so much.
Yeah.
I think one of the benefits of being able to do that too is you do get to see other artists' work and travel and see what and not everyone as an artist does the same thing. You got people that just kind of sit at home and paint and just enjoy it just at home by themselves, and there are people that like to share it with others and teach and do workshops, and I think that shows the breadth of what arts don't, that doesn't have to be anything individual. You can definitely help share it with other people.
Yeah, and the people are wonderful. When you meet and you're sitting and painting with them, and they're everybody's just having a really good time.
And you learn, like, to take the workshops and the classes, you learn so much from what the instructor is saying to everybody else. You just kind of get this group knowledge, and you learn so much from all your classmates.
And even
the
students can teach you something.
Yeah, completely.
They've got their own techniques that sometimes work better than what you've been taught. So
it's true.
I know we have the Duneland plein air painters coming out to my place in August. They're doing to go do a painting of the moonrise, and so we worked it out with them. So they're going to come out to Lake Palomara and paint the moonrise. So I've shot tons of moonrises because I don't have to go anywhere to do it. I just go out my porch there and look over the lake. So it's kind of easy.
Perfect.
We have a beautiful piece by Pat Herman in the gallery right now. It's called Strawberry Moon. And I think it was over Pine Lake, if I remember correctly. But she actually sold that piece. But it's one of I love that piece of hers. It's just, I think they call it nocturne painting.
Okay.
But yeah, it's like they're painting the moon rising. It's really, really beautiful.
I know. It's both of them are so talented. Julia Holmes has such a great sensitivity with watercolor. It's just, a lot of people know her as an oil painter, but I don't know. I think watercolor is definitely, she's like so in sync with watercolor.
She's definitely like a master watercolorist.
Mm-hmm. I think so,
brings
too.
Brings her passion of the way she presents with her oils, I think, is really evident with the way she paints in watercolors, too. And Pat Herman is also very,
very
bold with her approach and painting. And they're both excellent draftsmen, too, draftsmanship with their work. So their work, I mean, we're just so thrilled to have them in the gallery together. But they definitely deserve their own show in their own right, too. So, but, you know, the Doolin Plein Air painters are starting up, I think, this week for their season. So we're excited to see what else they have to bring.
And, now you work in watercolor, but do you work in any other medium? Have you worked in color pencil and other things? Or
well, luckily I have worked in a lot of different mediums over the years, but watercolor is still my favorite. But for some illustrational work, I will do acrylics and mixed media for the right project. Sometimes watercolor is not the best way to do it.
Right.
But so like with the Burning Fest Postal, I'll work on like acrylics just to get that punch of color and be able to give myself a little bit more forgiveness with things like that. But watercolor is my primary medium.
Okay. And you feel you have pretty good control of that? Or, I mean, watercolor, you know, a lot of times people think...
Oh, my gosh, does she have control?
No, I know, but I'm trying to get for our audience, because
It's hard. Watercolor
I hated it when I first started it. I'll be honest. Yeah. That's what I like to tell people when they're first starting off. I actually, like, swore off it when I first started it. Because
it's difficult.
It is extremely difficult. Yeah. You feel like you have no control over it, but I think letting go of the control is part of the process, and then I learned to let go at sometimes and other times to be able to kind of rein it in, and I think that's what I like about it, is it kind of has its own personality that you can shine through with the paint and the water, but at the same time you can kind of like, okay, now it's my turn to do what I want to do with it and have that blend of both. But some people do it, you know, completely different than the way I do. I do like the control.
So. I think a lot of people have memories of watercolor as a kid, and it's this meshy little thing that, you know, just soaks all the paint, and you have to have soaked the page and everything like that. So mastering that, I think, is the trick, is really learning how to work with the medium. And I think that's all of us that work with that. Yeah, look at that. That's all. You bring it home to mom and dad, and they stick it in the fridge, and it's really nothing. Well, anything final you'd like to say as we get ready to wrap it up here? Ryan?
Thank you for having us, Larry. It's been fun.
Okay. And tell us where the gallery is and how to get in touch with you one more time.
SFC Gallery is located at 607 Franklin Street in Michigan City. Like we said, our hours are Tuesday through Friday, 10 to 6, and then Saturday, 10 to 4.
Okay.
So feel free to stop by anytime or hit us up on the Facebook page.
And on First Fridays, you're open.
First Fridays. Because I've never come First Friday.
Yeah,
that's a great time to go because then you have usually margaritas there.
Well, yeah, people just like coming for the snacks. So.
Go see the art, but stay for the snacks. And Christina, anything else you'd like to do before we wrap up here?
I would say, if we can encourage you to come out even just for the First Friday Art Walk here in Michigan City. There's a lot of places to go out in not just SFC Gallery, but just in the whole Franklin District and Lubesnik Art Center, et cetera. But there's a lot of great artists in this area, and we're just trying to kind of give them their space and their voice and a space for them to shine a little bit here at SFC Gallery.
Well, we appreciate Ryan and Christina being on from the gallery and everything. By the way, you've been listening to Art in the Air. I'd like to thank our guests for being here today. Art of the Air is heard every Friday at 11 a.m. and rebroadcast Monday at 5 p.m. with your hosts, Larry Breckner and Esther Golden. Greg Kovach is our station manager for our show. Hey, once again, if you're interested in sending us information, being a guest on our show, updating us, you can send it to artontheair, WVLP at gmail.com. That's artontheair. WVLP@gmail.com. And remember, if you wanted to support us, WVLP.org/support, and you can support us in whatever level. And again, you can also hear the show archive on Breck. That's BRECH.com/AOTA. We hope you will listen to us. Next week, we have from the Q3, Michelle and Marvin
Schaefer.
And yes. That's your guest. So
Michelle's a singer-songwriter out of Chicago, and she and her husband have Q3 Art, which they make jewelry, large-scale mobiles, and they anodize their own metals, so it's their own color palette. So it's a very beautiful... I know, I should just describe it because I can't show you images.
So that's next week on Art on the Air.
Michelle will sing, so.
Well, that'll be fantastic. Yeah. So we hope to see you right here next week, 103.1 FM, Art on the Air. I'm Larry Breckner signing off with Esther Golden, and hope to see you here next week.
Aloha.